As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Great to be with you. My name is Bart Winkler. I am Bart Winkler. This is the Bart Winkler Show. Bungled that one. Carlos Ortiz alongside Gordon Damer on the updates. Coming up this hour, we're going to talk a little basketball, a little hockey, and a little baseball. Marshall Harris of 670 The Score. We'll talk some Cubs, White Sox with him. One of the things that's coming up this weekend is rivalry week, where there's a lot of interleague games. There's a lot of interleague games right now. I've talked about the Brewers have this stretch of five straight series. I think the Cubs are going to be having one of those stretches in the middle of summer as well. But coming up this weekend, you're going to see a handful of interleague games as it's part of rivalry week. Now, not every game will be an interleague game, but baseball made a concerted effort, which I actually should give them credit for, because I always say that baseball doesn't try with their scheduling, but there's going to be a rivalry week. Some of these rivalries are bigger than others. The White Sox at the Cubs. The Guardians at the Reds. All right, yeah. The Pirates at the Phillies. That's both NL, but yes, okay. The Mets and Yankees. The Nationals and Orioles. Yes. The Tigers and Blue Jays. Sure, they're right across the thing. The Braves and the Red Sox. Braves used to be the Boston Braves. The Rays and the Marlins. St. Louis and Kansas City. Houston and Texas. Minnesota and Milwaukee. Colorado, Arizona. I guess. L.A. and L.A. Whatever the A's are now in San Francisco. And then Seattle and San Diego always get paired up against each other. And actually, that is for a trophy. That is for a trophy. Eddie Vedder has started this. So this weekend, and then when they play later, whoever wins these six games that they play, and I don't know what happens if they tie, but they're going to win the Vedder Cup. So you can buy hats and stuff. In the result of a tie, the series will be decided by run differential or exit velocity. If the clubs share an even run differential in the season series after they've split, the team with the highest EV, exit velocity, or Eddie Vedder, recorded on a hit, will win the Vedder Cup. So they're raising money. But also, they found a way to tie these two teams together. So you don't like rivalry week? Is that your thing? You don't like it? You don't like that it exists?
Who, me? No, it's the other way around. I've been trying to plug this whole rivalry week stuff with you all week. I've been booking guests since last week for this.
Yeah, I thought you said it was stupid. I thought you said it was stupid. That's why you're like, hey, let's do some stuff for rivalry week. And I've been confused for like the last 7 days.
Wow, you need to start asking questions. I'm actually all in on rivalry week.
Yeah, me too. I like it. I'm glad that they're doing something like this.
How did you think I would have been opposed to this? You're the one that doesn't like interleague play.
No, I'm pretty sure that you not only said, I thought we talked about in one of our meetings that you were going to kill baseball for rivalry week. I'm so confused.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's your void personality. And it's the other Bart that thought that I would have been opposed to this. But Century Bart knew that I have been pro MLB Rivalry Week. They don't do a lot of things right. This weekend coming up is one of the few bright spots that they can hang their hat on.
I got to try to find in our text what I'm referring to.
I would love for you to find that because I really do not know what you're talking about.
That's the picture I took when I was at Thunderbolts. Now I'm back to when I got invited to go to a conference, a.k.a. pay $300. You sent me a picture of your... You sent me a picture of your Simpsons Crocs.
Oh, and they are so badass, man. It's got everything you need. It's got Santa's little helper. It's got Snowball on the other side, the family, the couch.
Yeah, I got to check this out. You sent me a picture of your food you made for some reason randomly. That was weird.
Don't act like you didn't appreciate that.
Oh, nachos. You sent me... Why would you make nachos and then say, I'm going to send this to Bart?
I don't know why, but I don't call those nachos. It's not a nachos. That is a family secret recipe called Haystack.
Oh, okay. Will you make me some of those when I come out there, if I do?
When did it become if? I thought you were. And I can, actually. It's very easy for me to make. I'm an excellent cook.
Oh, here we go. Would you consider the Brewers... Who would you consider the Brewers' interleague rival if they have one? I said, I guess the Twins, but those games always are friendly. You said, I'm putting in for a credential Friday the 16th.
Which I did not get.
That's rivalry week. You didn't get it?
No, I did not get that.
You applied and didn't get it?
Correct.
Who denied you?
The Yankees got better things to do, apparently.
You said we should do something during the week on it. Like, does anyone care? Oh, I guess you never said how you felt.
Yeah,
but that's
I love
how
this.
I read it. Hmm. You said perhaps we should dig into it. Fake buzz, whatever you want to call it. It's content.
A way to sell it for our audience. By the way, Marshall Harris, 670 to score, is going to come on and talk about this Fugazi series between the Cubs and White Sox. If any of you actually care, please don't turn the dial.
And I got to ask him about the Pope, right? I got to ask him about
the Pope. I would think so.
Got to do that. All right, so that's coming up in about 10, 15 minutes. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. The Celtics staved off elimination. The Edmonton Oilers knocked out the Golden Knights, and the Timberwolves knocked out the Warriors. So definitely a consequential night. Florida up on Toronto as well after they got a 6-1 win. And baseball. But we're waiting to really get into that when we cover rivalry week. Johnny's in Atlanta. Johnny, hello.
What's going on, Bart? Hey, I want to say, did the Celtics play better with Jason Tatum out because they rely on Jason Tatum too much? Because a lot of Derrick White showed up big time, even though he showed up all. I think he's been playing good this whole series, but I think.
Okay, I got a question. I got a question that our research team needs to dig into, because I have said that the nights that Jason Tatum struggles, he's got Derrick White insurance. Because when Tatum struggles, yeah, White's always putting up 25-30. Now, is that who Derrick White is? He just never has to do it because they're acquiescing to Tatum? Because I don't know how many games there's been where Jason Tatum and Derrick White both have big nights.
Yeah, I don't see that either. So that's what I'm saying. It might hurt the Knicks now since Jason Tatum's out. They might go on a two-game sweep. So
I just don't see them winning in New York. They're not going to. The Knicks are going to win. I mean, this is what New York can't do, though. Those of you that are paying to go to the game, or whoever is, you can't bring in the nervous, we're up 3-2, we're going to blow it energy. You got to bring the energy that they brought the other day, eventually then got sucked out of the building very quickly. But they've got to come. They've got to will that team back. This is the crowd is very important here.
I got two more things. Hey, you know that thing that's talking about one gorilla versus 100 men?
Yeah, I haven't talked about that at all because I think it's stupid.
Yeah, I think it's stupid too. But I see LeBron trying to get that one gorilla. He tried to get Anthony Davis. But everybody else trying to get these good 15 men who ready to scrap and play. See, that's why LeBron always get knocked out. And he tried to get Anthony Davis or Luka and try to gonna win a championship like this. Because a lot of people, like, they had Kevin Hart on that squad. And they want, he ain't want to play with Kevin Hart. I mean, not Kevin Hart, but Josh.
Kevin Hart?
No, Josh. I meant Josh Hart. My bad. Came through. And the last thing, I forgot that one big L part you can use with the Pacers is Eastern Conference. Go ahead and finish with me. Bart, go ahead and say, you know, the F word to use. Finals.
Yeah, Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, so that's it. I just had to go good like that.
Yeah. All right, Johnny.
All right, see you later, Bart.
For the call, still waiting to see who they play. Kevin Hart, that'd be interesting. Those Kevin Hart, I'm typically, are you, if you were to say, are you pro Kevin Hart or are you anti Kevin Hart? I'm typically pro Kevin Hart. I feel like maybe we see a lot of him. These DraftKings commercials he's in, those bother me.
Those suck.
Cause there's a, he's like dancing and, but it's like, there's sometimes where, and maybe I'm guilty of this, but there's sometimes where the content is present as if it's humorous, but it's not funny at all. Kevin Hart dancing to Round Ball Rock in a gym with cheerleaders behind him, it's just a waste of everybody's time, money, and effort. There's no joke there. So those bother me. Plus, like, I've been a DraftKings customer, and I've lost a lot of wages on there, so I would like to be the one dancing at center court to maybe get a check back. When we were in Chicago, I don't think I mentioned this. I do have a, I don't know, I think they sent it to me because I had like a lot of points. But I got, I have this raincoat. It's very nice. And it's got a DraftKings logo. So I wear it. And I wore it to the game we went to. And they have a DraftKings sportsbook in Wrigley, and there were two guys outside like doing promotions, and I went up to them. I go, look it, I got it too. And they're basically like, okay, guy. Well, I mean, you want to, but I guess they must have thought I'm already a paying customer if I got the sweet swag I was wearing. I didn't need to work hard for me. Mark is in Nova Scotia. Mark.
Oh, hey, can you hear me? Hey, Bart, thanks for taking my call. First, off the top, Ride Along and Ride Along 2 are some of the best comedies ever, Kevin Hart and Ice Cube. And the Eddie Vedder Cup, which is wild. I think that you should get bonus points. Like, anybody who can recite, like, 75% or more of even flow should get some points. But the reason I'm calling...
I don't think I could. I just go...
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. You get some serious points if you get that. I don't know if I could either. I've been trying for 34 years. But anyway, what I called for is because my Oilers won tonight. All right.
Hey, okay. Congrats. Good job.
Thank you very much. Yeah, no, I know. I tried really hard. I take a lot of credit for it. But yeah, I mean, last year, you know, our hearts were broken by the Florida Panthers, but I think we're going to see a rare thing. I was going to say the Big Four, but Cleveland and Golden State kept playing each other for whatever reason, 4 years in a row. But this would be, besides the NBA, I did some research, it would be the first rematch in those other sports since 2009 when the Penguins played the Red Wings for the second time. Red Wings won 4-2 in 2008. Penguins won 4-3 in 2009. So, as I say right now, it's going to be a rematch. And my Oilers are going to be the first Canadian team to hoist the cup since 1993. Gotta believe.
Well, I hope so for your sake, Mark. Thanks for the call. And I do want to see it. I do want to see a Canadian team win the Stanley Cup. I think it's absurd how long it's been. And I think that that would be interesting. Canada would probably unite around them. Now, we had talked about maybe not for the Maple Leafs because some ties are even thicker
Sports ties are thicker than country sometimes. I've told you, I hate when I'm like rooting for the USA and I know that there's other people that I'm rooting for that are, oh, you're a Cubs fan and we're rooting for the same thing. I don't like it. It's gross. I don't like it, but we do that. Speaking of streaks, Steve Kerr was on a 152-game coach streak before his first four-game losing streak ever in the playoffs. Third most all-time. Red Auerbach coached 168 games and never had a four-game losing streak in the playoffs. Phil Jackson, it took him 244 games until he lost four games in a row in the postseason. Steve Kerr, he went 152 games before he lost four games in a row. So that could have been at the hands of a sweep. Or, of course, you go up 2-0, then lose four, go up 1-0, lose four. Steve Kerr, 152 games before he had a four-game losing streak. Tough effort for them. Kerr does say he is proud of what his guys were able to at least put out there for an effort.
It was a fight. Really proud of our guys. They hung in there and they battled the whole way through. And quite a turnaround in our season, you know, from where we were a few months ago to giving ourselves a chance and having a swing at the plate, you know, for some real chances to go deep. And we were right there, and obviously. Didn't go our way, but again, the Wolves were great. They deserved it, and I'm very proud of our team.
Probably be remembered for the year Steph Curry got hurt against Minnesota, but this was a very weird season for Golden State to begin with. They started 12-3. Remember that? They started 12-3. They went on a five-game losing streak, and at one point, they were 22-23. Eventually made the trade for Jimmy Butler, who was a huge boon for them. Then they get into the playoffs, beat the two-seeded Rockets after having to go through the play-in tournament. And then they get to the Timberwolves semifinals, but lose. So a good start, then a bad stretch, then Jimmy Butler, but then they lose Steph. Oh, one thing I wanted to say about the play-in tournament that I meant to say the other night is I think one of the issues that I have with Dallas getting the number one seed is they were in the play-in tournament. And maybe a tweak that you can make with the lottery is if you're in the play-in tournament, you shouldn't be able to get the number one pick. It seems weird to me. They were playing on that last Friday of that play-in tournament. They had a one-game chance to get in, and then they didn't, but then they get the number one pick. That's too big of a variance to me. I didn't like how that went down. So I mentioned it's a crazy season. It was a crazy season for Golden State, but Steve Kerr, they're not going to let the Curry injury be an excuse.
Injuries are, you know, part of the playoffs. I learned a long time ago, you know, the playoffs are really about health and then just guys stepping up and making some big shots, big plays, you know, in key games. That's what decides every series. And so we've been on both ends of that, and that's just part of it. So there's no sense in dwelling on it. And, you know, I don't want to take anything away from what Minnesota just accomplished. So no sense in even talking about Steph.
And we don't want to do that either because Minnesota had a great series, a great night. They won 121-110, of course. Anthony Edwards with 22 points and 12 assists. The leading scorer for Minnesota was Julius Randle with 29 points. He added 8 rebounds and 5 assists. He talked about what it means to advance to the next round.
It was great. You know, we've had a season full of adversity. And, I mean, Coach said it at the end of the regular season. We didn't do anything as far as trades or fire coaches. We just stuck together. And we got through it together. So I'm super proud of our team, man. Everybody has stepped up in some type of way this year. And we got win number 8. Got to keep going.
Obviously, there was a big trade before the season. But as the season went on, this was the team that they went with. And they had to figure it out together. And that they did. So in the West, we've got Minnesota against either Denver or Oklahoma City. We'll have that game tomorrow, game 6. And then in the East, it's Indiana
We're going to see a game six between the Knicks and the Pacers. So a postseason that has been pretty good and pretty unpredictable continues to be both of those things. Just hope that, you know, these injuries don't become to be a trend, as this round we lost Steph and we lost Jason Tatum. 888-710-4ISN. We'll come back. We'll talk some MLB. Cubs did lose tonight. They've got the White Sox coming up this weekend on a pretty light part of their schedule, especially when you looked at what they were up against in the month of April. White Sox, obviously, this year have been no good either. They did get a win over the Reds tonight. But now they're going to play each other coming up this weekend. We'll talk to Marshall Harris about that from 670 Score when we come back. This is the Bart Winkler Show.
Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler. We are taking a look this week as MLB has rivalry week coming up where they pit their interleague teams against each other, against their rival, pretty consistent year in and year out. Some teams switch a little bit, but for Chicago, it's always Cubs, White Sox. It's cool that the teams get to play. Bird's eye view, I think I like the non-interleague stuff better, but we can talk about that, throughout the week. Marshall Harris is joining us, 670 The Score. He's on their middays, so he's certainly got a good pulse of what's going on with the Cubs, with the White Sox. And while that series is coming up this weekend, maybe the White Sox take a game. I don't know. It doesn't seem to be that contentious between the teams talent-wise. I think the big thing is right now, the White Sox got the win because they got the Pope. So that's at least enough to celebrate for them.
Listen, in a year like this, you just have to celebrate the dubs as they come. I do want to point out, though, the White Sox may have been invigorated by this because if you look at what the White Sox have been doing lately, they're coming off a series win. Again, that was against the Miami Marlins. So what are we really doing? And they're in Cincinnati facing the Reds. We'll see what happens there. But I think the big thing is coming into today, at least, these teams were just a game apart in terms of what they've done in the month of May. They both played 12 games coming into the day, and the Cubs had only won one more game than the White Sox. So I think that's the way that people are looking at it. And all of a sudden, the White Sox look like they can hit, and they couldn't hit. Here's the key stat when you talk about the White Sox. They are very bad at baseball, or at least they have been so far this season. But when they score more than three runs, 11-3 coming into the day. So think about that for a second. The pitching's been good enough, but the offense has been very, very bad. But all of a sudden, the offense looks a little bit more lively, and I think that's something they're leaning on. Meanwhile, the Cubs, they're in first place, a hard-charging Cardinals team behind them. The Brewers are the defending champs. And, of course, people are just wondering, can they keep Kyle Tucker in town, and can they make this a real playoff race? They've already lost Justin Steele for the season and then Shohei Imanaga on the shelf with a strained hamstring. But they've gotten good starting pitching in the meantime.
So how are they? Because they're dealing with Imanaga, like you mentioned. Ian Happ's been hurt. I know that you start to dig into the prospect pool a little bit throughout the season. A couple of guys at the catching position that they've had to focus on. How are they dealing with just those specific injuries?
Well, the big one right now is the fact that the permanence of the Justin Steele situation was pretty much their 1A or their number two starter. That was a big deal. You're wondering how they're going to bounce back from that. But they've had Colin Ray, who started out the season as a swingman, step right into the rotation. And he's been honestly phenomenal since Justin Steele went down. They've won five of his six starts, and he's been pitching around a 2 ERA as a starter. So he's gotten the job done. Just last night, they saw him go into the seventh inning, pitch 6 2/3. So Colin Ray's gotten the job done. Meanwhile, on the back end of that, you've got guys like Ben Brown who are showing why they are so good, even though he's really only had a two-pitch mix with the off-speed stuff and a fastball that's been as good as the best pitchers in the major leagues. And he's trying to mix in a third pitch, a changeup. That's been good as well. But the real story so far has been Cade Horton, a guy who made his major league debut against the Mets And the only game they were able to win in that series over the weekend. So if Cade Horton can be a guy that they can depend on to give them five innings or so, and if the continued superb outings from one Colin Ray continue, they're going to be in good shape. Because one thing they can do is hit. They've been hitting all season long.
Talking some Cubs, White Sox, as they've got a series this weekend in Chicago with Marshall Harris, 670, the score. You know, as we cover the games from a national standpoint, we don't really break down every single baseball game on our show throughout the course of a night. There's a lot of those games. But with me being a Brewers fan and Carlos Ortiz being a Cubs fan, sometimes, you know, that little rivalry will get to the airwaves. And where we've been mentioning either team the most has been when Carlos breaks in screaming things about Ryan Pressly or the Cubs bullpen. Ben Brown's a guy who has been in that bullpen, you know, obviously now in the starter role. Is this an issue, this back end of the bullpen, which has, like, just as far as I know, the last few years watching against the Cubs or the Cubs in general, they have good starters, and then you get to the seventh or eighth inning and you're like crossing your fingers and wishing you had the Pope on your side in some of these cases.
Yeah, they're still very much crossing their fingers. It's still very much an issue, and it must feel like deja vu for anyone who's been paying attention to this Cubs team really since they sold off all the players from their World Series championship, right? The back end of the bullpen has been an issue, whether you want to go back to Craig Kimbrel, whether you want to look at the fact that they came into this season going out, getting a guy like Ryan Pressly, getting him to waive his no-trade clause and guaranteeing that he would be the closer, to having him just a couple of days ago being a guy who wasn't going to see high-leverage situations. Now, the good news is that changed last night as he was put into a high-leverage situation and got out of that jam. And then, of course, the Cubs go on to get a walk-off win thanks to a wily 40-year-old youngster by the name of Jeff Turner. So you look at what they've been able to do, right? And you see a possibility that they're going to have some answers in the back end of the bullpen. It's probably going to come by trade. They were hoping Porter Hodge would step right in that role. Looked good in one outing against the Mets. Looked absolutely awful in his next time out. But they told us Ryan Pressly, he's going to get work. It's just going to be in low leverage situations. But it was a shocking surprise to see him in a high leverage situation against a subpar Marlins team. This is a stretch where they can really build up the confidence, perhaps, because they've got the Marlins for three, followed by the White Sox for three, and then the Marlins for another three. This is the nine-game stretch where they're hoping to get guys right, especially at the back end of that bullpen. But it might be a Daniel Palencia. It might be a Porter Hodge. It might be a Brad Keller. There's a multitude of guys they can use, and that's why Craig Counsell got paid all that money to leave your Brewers, is because he's supposed to be able to guy that can whisper into the ear of relievers and figure it out. So far, it's been shaky trying to figure that out.
You know, I look at this Cubs schedule. They had a tough like April. They had a very tough start. The Padres are in there. The Dodgers were in there a bunch. The Phillies are in there. Giants, Mets. The schedule that you got coming up, as you mentioned, lightens up a little bit. I think just kind of a bigger conversation about baseball and kind of where I was at the beginning is, look, as an NL Central guy, like, it gets old, okay, seeing the Pirates 19 times a year, seeing the Reds 19 times a year. But now that they don't do that, now that it's a balanced schedule and it's 12 games.
You miss it, don't you?
With the Cardinals surging and whatever happens with the Brewers, who have won the division the last couple of years, I feel still like some sports, basketball, divisions, people don't even know there are divisions. But in baseball, if the Cardinals are going to surge, I want them to have 19 chances against the Cubs. If the Cubs want to take it from the Brewers, I want them to have – I want those to be battled out. So with interleague play being what it is, and I don't think we need to – I always say that I want to go back to when it was – East and West in the AL and NL.
Oh, you want to get rid of the DH. You want to get rid of
the DH. I want to be 1989.
You want the Brewers to go back to the American League, is what you're saying.
I do. Switch the National, or switch the, yeah, get the Nationals back to Montreal, switch the Astros back to the, I want it all back how it was. But I don't know that. Like, I guess it's nice to see everybody, but the Brewers are on this stretch where they're playing five straight series against American League teams. They are going to be at the 50-game mark. 30 of those will be against American League teams and 20 the National League. I don't know. I'm not at a point where I feel like this is the best way to settle these things on the field.
It is weird because, as you know, the Cubs had just an absolute bear of a schedule out of the gate. Currently, they're in a stretch where they play 21 straight games against teams under 500. That's the balance of that, right? They played the toughest schedule in all of baseball through the month of April, and then they've got the easiest schedule the rest of the way. But to your point about the division game specifically, the fact that they haven't seen the Cardinals, they've only seen the Brewers once, but they haven't even seen the Cardinals. They're going to see the Reds for the very first time coming up. And the fact that they've played 23 games against the NL West already, no one in the NL West has played 23 games against each other or even close to that. The most has been 13 games. So it's kind of crazy how lopsided it was. That's why it matters when people get hurt, right? Right now, Ian Happ is on the injured list with a strained oblique. He's scheduled to come back on Tuesday. That's what he told us yesterday. But think about it. The time that he's missing, it's against the Marlins and the White Sox. It's not really a big deal. But if it was against, say, the Cardinals or the Brewers, that might be a big deal. So I do kind of miss what you're talking about. But I think more importantly for the sport of baseball, it's important that at least every 2 years, you get to see every major league ball club come to your spot.
Yeah, as I get the pros and I get the cons. You know, looking ahead to, because I mentioned what the Brewers did. So I thought, okay, well, what do the Cubs have? Here's a fun stretch. The end of the first half of the season, starting June 27th, Astros, Guardians, and then Cardinals, then Twins and Yankees. So that's 4 to 5 American League. Then we get the All-Star break, and then the Cubs are going to have, out of the All-Star break, Boston, Kansas City, and the White Sox. So that'll be 7 out of 8 in the middle of summer when those divisional aspects, it's, you get to see everybody. That's good. I know that's good. In Chicago, you know, there's tons of people. I'm sure, oh, Yankee, oh, these teams come to town, but I don't know. I want to see these races settle on the field.
I think it's what's crazier than that is the fact that when you look at the rest of the schedule and when they see the Brewers, the last time they face the Brewers is August 21st. So you've got the last month of the season where not only do they not see the Brewers, but they only see the Cardinals for one series. Now, it is, for the Cubs, the last series of the season. So that, as of right now, looks like it could be a series of consequence. But it's wild that they could play basically the last 5 weeks of the season and never see the Brewers. So I get both sides of it, too, like what you're talking about. I'd rather have Shohei Ohtani coming to my city at least once every 2 years, because otherwise you might see him once every 4 years, which I think does a disservice to the game of baseball. And this is a sport that desperately needs the growth when you look at what's happening with the NBA, the NFL, kind of running circles around MLB as far as being a nationally thought of sport as opposed to just a regional one.
One more with Marshall Harris, 670 The Score, Cubs and White Sox coming up this weekend, talking interleague baseball and all that. You want to talk about guys and seeing them in your ballpark. I think the big question hanging over is Kyle Tucker and how much are you going to see him in a Cubs jersey. You make that deal, you think, okay, let's lock him up. And then when George Pickens got traded to the Cowboys, I'm like, well, they're just Kyle Tuckering him. They're bringing him in for maybe a season and there's no long-term view there. Hope for the best. If I'm a Cubs fan, I guess I'm trying to like, okay, whatever. I got to not think of it. But I want this guy long-term. Is there any communication? Is there any expectation? Is this a in-season 2025 possibility issue? Is this an off-season thing? Where are Cubs fans resigned to the future of Kyle Tucker in a Cubs uniform? I mean, Council changed his number for the guy.
Council did change his number for Kyle Tucker. The numbers that need to be changed are what the Cubs are willing to offer anyone. How about that? Because we know it starts with a 5, right? We know the number starts with a 5, and it's definitely 9 figures, what we're talking about with Kyle Tucker specifically. The problem is, Bart, when you look at the history of baseball and guys trading and then signing guys like this to an extension without getting to free agency, when they're this close to free agency, outside of Mookie Betts in L.A., Remember, you went to the Dodgers and they immediately said, here's all the money, because they're the freaking Dodgers. I don't think you're going to see that with the Cubs. They've never given out a $200 million contract. The biggest one on the books that they've ever given out is the Dansby Swanson contract. And he's playing very well right now. But the idea that they're going to give somebody $500 million and that he's going to just take a deal without going to free agency, especially 2 years ahead of this anticipated lockout, I think it's a pipe dream for the Cubs. But you'd love to see it. Yes, as a Cubs fan.
Don't so win there because they got more resources than the lowly Brewers. This should be one of those resources.
It should be. But if you look at how they've approached things leading up to now, they could have Cody Bellinger right now playing for the Cubs. They don't. Instead, it's shuffling guys around to fill up when a guy gets hurt. It's interesting what the Yankees, the Mets, the Giants, and what I'm trying to think of another big market team. I guess you could say that maybe the Diamondbacks or even Rangers are willing to do compared to what the Cubs in market three are willing to do. And it's not like we have trouble getting people to come to our ballpark and spend money here. That's not the issue.
Marshall Harris, 670 The Score. You can find him middays. Appreciate your time. Enjoy the upcoming weekend series the rest of summer. Hope to do it again.
Bart, I look forward to talking to you again. Maybe when the Brewers, I don't know, get closest, maybe second place in the NL Central. It's been a minute.
So we'll talk in a couple of years.
Thanks, Bart.
Again, that is Marshall Harris joining us on 670 The Score. You can find him here on the Infinity Sports Network. Right now, let's get another update. It's Gordon Damer.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler. The Edmonton Oilers, via the Oilers Radio Network, they are headed back to the conference finals. The Minnesota Timberwolves are headed back to the conference finals. The Indiana Pacers are headed back to the conference finals. So a lot of familiarity between last year's postseason in the NHL and NBA as of right now. Pat Boyle's coming up next. He'll have much more reaction to the events of Wednesday night. Looking forward to his thoughts on the Knicks and the Celtics. They will play again on Friday. What we have for Thursday night is two more hockey games where we could see two more teams advance. Carolina's got a 3-1 lead over the Capitals, and the Stars have a 3-1 lead over Winnipeg. So we could see some more people, some more teams advancing on Thursday. We've also got Oklahoma City and Denver. This game at 8:30 Eastern, 5:30 Pacific. So we'll be able to wrap about that a little bit as we find out what happens there. Oklahoma City in Denver, they can get the series victory. You would think, based on the trends of the last couple of games, Nuggets have been getting a little fatigued in that fourth quarter. You know, you got to do four quarters. It's four separate blocks. Somebody who does 4 different hours a night, sometimes I'm a little more Nuggets than I am Thunder. But we try our hardest for you, okay? Isn't that what matters? My God. You demand so much of us here at the Infinity Sports Network. I'm of the under-promise, over-deliver, but geez, trying to appease everybody. I'm just doing my best. So we got all that coming up. On Thursday's show, we'll have the Bartometer. We're taking a look at which rookie quarterbacks will be in line for the most starts. And if you think about that, you think, oh, well, I mean, that'll be easy. It's Cam Ward. He's going to start for the Titans. One of three teams, along with the Browns and Saints, with no primetime games. And those are some of the other teams that are going to have rookie quarterbacks starting. So who are these rookie quarterbacks that are going to start? This is why we got to plug it into the Bartometer. Because Tyler Shuck will get a chance with the Saints, but, I mean, how's that going to go? And then a guy like Shedeur Sanders will be making a start next year, at least one. So will Dylan Gabriel. Will he, though? Will he? Will he even be on the team? The team that drafted Shedeur Sanders, the guy who could have gone number 2 overall, worst case scenario a year ago, we thought that, was now the number two quarterback taken by a team in this year's draft behind Dylan Gabriel out of Oregon. I don't know if you guys saw that viral clip already. One of the reporters was picking up his microphone at the podium. He's like, I'm taller than him. Dylan Gabriel's not super tall, which we've seen smaller quarterbacks have success in this league, but now he's got to compete against Shedeur Sanders. So that's going to be interesting. And then, you know, it's kind of a crapshoot. Is Jackson Dart going to get some starts in New York? He's got a couple of guys in front of him. What about some of these other guys that got drafted? The Raiders have a couple of rookie quarterbacks in there. Are we sure that they're not going to start? Some quarterbacks, like a Joe Milton last year, didn't start until week 18. The over-under, by the way, is 5.5. 5.5 rookie quarterbacks to get a start. Last year, we saw 10 rookie quarterbacks get a start. The NFL schedule came out today, and some of those quarterbacks will be matched up against each other from last year. Caleb Williams against the Commanders. Jaden Daniels should be a big one. One other schedule quirk, the Commanders have 4 games against teams coming off of byes. So that could doom some trouble for them. Our thanks to Marshall Harris, who is just on 670 The Score. Gordon Damer on the updates tonight. Carlos Ortiz as well. We'll be back on Thursday night. Pat Boyle coming up next. This is The Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to The Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.